pesticides, herbicides, insecticides? Are these harmful chemicals being sprayed on your fruits and vegetables? Have you thought about whether your food is being produced through sustainable, mindful growing practices free from those harmful residues? Many persons across the globe are having to contend with pests, droughts, heavy rainfall, or even food insecurity. How do we stop these phenomena from affecting our food production and creating food safety? Well, people in recent times have been disrupting the status quo with technology-driven and sustainable food security innovations, a new dimension, a paradigm shift to the diversification of agricultural production. If you have adequate land space or not, but you do have a balcony or concrete rooftop, which many of us Jamaicans do, here is to choosing how to grow your own food and exploring hydroponic farming. You will now have the opportunity to harvest your own lettuce, your own parsley, tomatoes, I might say, even strawberries or any other vegetation to your liking, if your intention is for subsistence farming or entrepreneurship. I invited Ricardo Chambers, who owns and operates a multi-million dollar enterprise, Chambers Hydro Farm, to speak with us about alternative farming. Chambers Hydro Farm is a pioneer to hydroponic farming in Jamaica, which is a system completely new to many. Jamaica, as with the rest of the world, has a Vision 2030 agenda for sustainable development, and ironically, Ricardo's endeavor seems to be in alignment with these goals, particularly goals 2, 8, and 9. Goal 2 speaks to ending hunger, achieving food safety, improving nutrition, and promoting sustainable agriculture. Goal 8 is to promote inclusive, sustainable economic growth, full productive employment, and decent work for all. Goal 9, of course, intends to foster innovation, build resilient infrastructure, and promote inclusive and sustainable industrialization. Chambers Hydro Farm not only designs, constructs, and advises on the operation of hydroponic systems, they also provide employment and capacity building through established mentorship and internship programs in the community of Swaby's Hope, located in Mandeville. The youths are taught hydroponic farming theory and techniques, as well as the exploration of business opportunities. Now, mind you, I appreciate this concept. However, I personally would recommend utilizing bamboo over PVC pipes to support ecological sustainability. Needless to say, come join me on this journey and stay tuned to learn how these goals are intertwined with Chambers Hydroponic Farming and how you can own your own hydroponics business. I'm your host, Clendine, and this is Impact 360. Let's get into it. Cheers. So here we are. Welcome, Mr. Ricardo Chambers, and welcome to everyone else who is tuning in to this week's episode of Impact 360. I'm actually ready to get down, or let's just say I'm ready to get all up in your business, Ricardo. Pun intended.
Yeah,
right?
Come into the business.
I'm actually intrigued by your story. So please share with us your background and how you got involved in hydroponics farming.
Well, my background is mostly athletics. I was a runner for Jamaica, running the Olympics, running many world games, all over the place, all over the world, compete for Jamaica. So my geritone background is from track and field, but I grew up in a farming community in Chilani. I'm surrounded by agriculture for a very long time throughout my childhood days. I know about agriculture.
Okay.
And then I migrated to the US, I think during coming up towards my last part of high school. So I did like 2 years of high school in the US. And before I did high school here in Jamaica as well.
Okay.
So all I got into farming is always thinking about where I'm from. First, where I'm from, like the farmers them during that time when I was much younger and I live in the US and I always come back the air and stuff. And the farmers them always complain. Some of them, most of them, for various different reasons. But from what we observe, is like they must keep the same practice over and over and over and over. They're not doing nothing new. Mm-hmm. So then things are changed, time are changed, but they do the same method. So we used to try to encourage them for that. Yo, try some more, some different thing, man. Try it out a different way. Try just try this and try that. But then, you know, like most of us, they're just stuck in their mind and their ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
During when we then at the state, I mean, I think about, okay, then. I think about it. It just crossed my mind. So I started doing researching in a farming and hydroponic farming. We come across hydroponic farming and then we just decided, you know, I'm going to do it, you know, and show them so it can be done.
Mm.
And that's what really spoke my interest in Chambers Hydro Farm. Mm. And from there, just a basically a single ball on the hill kind of thing. We're here now.
Exactly. A lot of persons might be familiar or even utilize container farming. How do you compare container hydroponics to that of which you operate? Because your operation doesn't fall within the scope of a container.
No, I think container farming is a good way of farming as well, but it does have its place in the market. I don't think it's really suitable for our condition in Jamaica. Or not saying not suitable, it can work, but we have some of those natural elements that like sun.
Mm-hmm.
We have so much abundance of sun, and that's the reason why you don't want to invest in our system. We have provided the sun. We have abundant sun.
And then also additional electricity because the lighting mechanisms, you have to utilize electricity to gain access.
Yeah, so in my view, the container farming that work in other areas where that application that would be really feasible.
Right.
So maybe in a tight city and I need a local space, our place like New York and then the local place there. But Jamaica, a whole heap of sun, so might as well just use the free sun.
Right.
So more likely build a system that could use the natural resources them locally to accomplish. Because if you're thinking about like a system, and then you have to import all of the raw material just to build it, then it's going to be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're thinking about building a hydroponic system where you could actually use the local material that's here, especially one that's available in large quantity.
Right. So it's pretty much your process, your approach, you would say, is more cost-effective than...
Yep. Yes, so what I'm trying to do is find the cheapest way to mass produce fruits and vegetables hydroponically.
Right. Can you take us through the process of the different stages for our audience, from the germination stage to the seedling to the transplanting? I'm not sure if you add nutrients. Transplanting and harvesting. Take us through the process and kind of describe how your system is actually integrated into the hydroponics mechanism.
All right, the process for me, at Chambers Hydrofarm, we do a whole heap of different things.
Mm-hmm.
We blend fertilizer, we supply fertilizer, we build a system, our supply complete hydroponic units, and we involve in distribution, and we We now basically building up the infrastructure for the new agriculture of Jamaica. We're launching that, and we're doing partnership, doing all a bunch of different things. But the process of hydroponics is at our places. We operate in a research and development center. So we basically do all kind of research and we innovate. So we do all different kind of something. So we don't really follow no process because we're doing research. We basically just throw things against the wall and see what but in a typical day on the farm, first let us sow the seeds. The seeds take about 7 to 14 days, depending on the type and depending on how early. 10 to 14 days, depending on the type of vegetables you're planting and how early you're trying to transplant them.
So those vegetables would include what?
Like the ones in that maturity process is like lettuce and pak choi and those things. You have some other vegetables like parsley and peppers and all that stuff. Those take very long or a much longer time to germinate.
Okay.
So say for example doing lettuce, it'll take about 10 to 14 days. So basically right. A week and a half or 2 weeks to ready. Okay. Once those seedlings, we sow them in a potting style, and we put them in our germination place, and then after them germinate in about 2 to 3 days, you transfer them into the nursery, and from the nursery, them did it until they're ready for transplant, and then they just transplant them straight directly into the system. Mm-hmm. And while the nutrition is added to the water, and we have our pH and EC meter to test the water and to let them know how much nutrition is in there and the balance of the pH and those aspects. And then basically, that's it. Hydroponic is very, very easy now. It's mostly plant and harvest.
Mm.
Yeah, because most of everything is automated.
Okay.
So for example, when you at our farm, the plants get water automatically.
Mm-hmm.
They get the nutrition automatically. I get to recycle back the water as well and the nutrition, which is a great thing. Yes.
So you mentioned fertilizer. What does that consist of? And you mentioned nutrients. How often should those nutrients be replenished? Because you said that it's automatic, but obviously to provide nutrients, it has to be initially a manual initiative, right? So how often, based on the growth patterns, based on the time frame for harvesting?
All right, then for lettuce. It takes 4 weeks from transplant to harvesting in the system. And if the time is much cooler, depending on the weather, it even grow faster.
Wow.
As far as the nutrition, it's the calcium, phosphorus, nitrogen, iron, and those kind of elements that's the make up the nutrition.
Okay.
What it does is when the plants drink down the water. So what they do is tap it up with fresh water and then more nutrition. It can be done manually or it can be done using sensors to automatically test the water, and whenever the nutrition is off, it's added the right amount to the tank automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be done manually and it can be done with one of those systems.
Okay, so how much water would you say that you probably use per day or per hour for those vegetations to grow?
We don't use a lot of water at our farm because we're recycling the water. So it's the same water we're using over and over and over and over. And our farm, we use about 3,000 gallons of water to run our farm. No, 4,000 gallons of water. To run our farm for the month and just growing the crops alone. But we'd use water to do other things like washing and those other things.
So 4,000 gallons of water per month.
Yeah.
To grow. So what does that entail? What plants specifically with that 4,000 gallon supply? And what is the comparison between that 4,000 per month to the quantity of plants that you have versus the traditional farming methods?
Currently, we have a capacity, our farm have a capacity to grow 18,000 plants. But we don't operate at our full 100% capacity all the time. But those 4,000 gallons is we plant a wide variety of plants, and you know, some plants drink up more water than some. So we don't actually have a measurement of say how much each of the plants them drink, the different plants them drink from the 4,000 gallon, but just to run our facilities, because what happened, you know, we do a lot of research. So we don't really follow norm trajectory. Some month is more than four, some month is less than four, depending on what you're doing.
Right. 18,000 plants on average you produce. Do you supply, is it that you supply individuals, or do you supply supermarkets? Do you supply hotels? How do you go about distributing?
And anybody who want purchase from, we sell them. But we have a partnership with Quality Harvest, and that's who we focus on. They distribute food to the supermarkets and other vendors. And we have a partnership with them where they would deliver our produce, distribute our produce. But we sell to anybody who come with their money.
Anybody that come with their money. All right, it's quite an experience, actually. How is it that persons are able to get access for those who come with their money? Do they go in a store to come with their money? Like, how them get access to your stuff? Because I realize that you provide an experience. You know, people just don't come with their money.
Yeah. What we do, we try to be an all-inclusive agriculture organization.
Right.
Basically, we're doing farm education. We're doing ecotourism. We do community tourism, we do agritourism, we involve in distribution, we involve in manufacturing. So we're doing a whole bunch of different things. So as far as coming with the money, depending on what you want. So for example, we do tours. And anybody can come on a tour. When you come on a tour, it's $2,000 per person. And we basically show you the farm, show you the farm setup, and we teach you about hydroponics. We give you insight about opportunities in the industries. And if you have any opportunities that you want to be a part of, we share that with you as well. You get to harvest your own produce. So you basically harvest your own thing, whatever you want from the farm. And while there, we supply seedlings, and everything we deliver nationwide. Everything we do, we deliver nationwide. So we supply the seedlings. We also build complete hydroponic kits, and we supply those as well. And you can purchase them from chambershydrofarm.com, or you can just contact us and purchase them seedlings. We supply the nutrition. We provide guidance and support for anybody who working with us. And we also partner up with GTAS. And what GTAS is basically a brand new agriculture system where it work is anybody can be a member. By being a member, it purchase a franchise of basically what we're doing. And we build the farm, you own the farm, we manage and operate the farm, we grow the produce, and Quality Harvest market and distribute the produce. And it's a turnkey solution. We basically do everything for you. You just purchase a membership. If you want more information on that day, you can reach out to me, or you can reach out to growtogethersystem@gmail.com. So we're doing a wide variety of stuff. So basically, anybody who come with their money, or anybody who not just come with their money, but anybody who come with something where they could add value to the development of Jamaica in business.
Do we need, or do these individuals need prior experience to own a hydroponics farm?
No. I'm surprised. You know, most of our customers is actually first-time farmers. What happened is it's so easy to manage because most of the process is automation. And what we do is we provide full support to anybody who purchased any system from us. Because our motto is, if you fail, we fail. So we don't want you to fail, you understand? So we provide full support and guidance. If you can get done over the phone, it's free. So anything you can get done, and almost everything can get done over the phone nowadays. But if we have to leave and say, come at the facility to do something, then we probably charge you for our time to come there. But otherwise than that, if you purchase a farm from us, you get the support.
Okay. How often would you recommend that the... Well, first of all, describe the system for us. Because it is a non-traditional hydroponic. It's not container farming, right? So describe the system for us. Give those listeners some visual descriptions of how the farm is actually set up.
The design that we're currently building right now, or mostly built, is the NFT design. And it's just basically PVC pipes. And it designed in a vertical triangle, and it comes with a water tank, it comes with a pump, it comes with the meters then to test it. It comes with everything you need to start a plant right out of the corner, ready to grow. The smallest one could grow 50 plants, and we build them all the way up to commercial size. Anything that's above 242 plants, include installation. So that's part of the cost is we come and install it for you as a part of the cost. Anything below 242 plants and below, we send instructional videos, and those are very easy to assemble. The smallest one could go 50 plants, and that's for $39.99. So basically $39,099, basically a 40 grand. The next size up could grow 121 plants, and that's for $65,000. And it's what, 4 feet wide and 9.5 feet, 8.5 feet long. The smallest one is 3 feet wide and 5 feet long. And up from that size, we have the one that could grow 242 plants. And it's 128,000. And you also can visit chambershydrofarm.com to see all the different sizes, prices, and a lot more information.
The commercial size.
Let me purchase there too as well.
Okay. I hear you quoting in US. So does that mean
we talk through a language in Jamaica.
Oh, 39. Okay. Understand. Well, in any event, is it something that you provide for international, persons who are seeking this type of apparatus, if it's something that you introduce to persons living overseas?
Currently we're serving the Jamaican market currently, but we are working to service the rest of the world. Basically, we just don't have the infrastructures needed in place to do that, but we are working, putting it together.
Okay. I'm hearing a lot of different moving parts, literally, and I'm just excited about that.
Yeah, man, but yeah.
You have a lot going on for that business. So, yeah, my head is spinning, and trust me, I have so much question, but we can't go finish all of it in this one segment. But what I want to know is, for you mentioned the PVC pipes. You know, is there like, has there any been any issues where they need to be replaced? And would that be one of the after sales services that you provide? Would it be at a cost to replace it, or would it be something that is, replaced within a particular time frame at zero cost?
All right, I'm going 5 years now on my pipe. Them still are all strong. You see, it's made mostly from PVC pipes. It's the kind of pipe them that's actually run water by your yard. So it's going to last more and very long.
Quite durable.
Yeah, and the metal is made from the same pipe. The metal that actually build the grill or the barrier or your window barrier or your grill at the yard. So don't last for a very long time. I'm going 5 years now, and I pull on my farm numerous times and put it back together because I'm doing research and I'm always trying to do different things. But we couldn't give you a number how long it will last, but there is something that lasts for a very long time.
All right. I want to touch back on the topic of research, but you also mentioned you pulled down on numerous occasions. How often would you recommend that you clean those pipes?
All right, then.
Considering that it's
you will have algae build up from time to time. Mm-hmm. You could just wipe it off with bleach water. Just wipe off a pipe with bleach water. If algae build up on the inside, you could use hydrogen peroxide. I never used it before myself, but I heard other people use it and get good result.
Okay. Interesting. Like I said, there's so many different moving parts. What are some regulatory...
What I'm doing is... trying to develop Jamaica using agriculture.
Right.
Agriculture in Jamaica is broken and outdated, basically. So we basically building a brand new agriculture system from scratch. So it's a brand new industry that we're building from scratch. So it's a lot of moving parts going on. It's a lot of things in the foundation is being laid, in a sense. You understand? So it's a lot of going. I'm doing a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about the goal 9 of Jamaica's Vision 2030 Sustainable Development Goals, right? To build resilient infrastructure, which we touched on, to promote sustainable industrialization and foster innovation, which we touched on. So you're pretty much incorporating all those elements in helping with the socioeconomic development, sustainable economic growth development, actually, in Jamaica, right? Providing employment and decent work for all.
Yeah, man. Well, me personally, I don't watch TV and them cutting them, so I don't know what go on as really to things. But what me just focus upon is the mission that I'm on, and by doing the necessary stuff to achieve the mission, which is develop Jamaica and revolutionize agriculture. Naturally our coincidentally or whatever, it just so happened that I'm falling in line with others or the overall vision for the country.
Right.
And I'm basically doing what I think need to get done.
Absolutely. So with that in mind, what are some of the regulatory framework that you think can be implemented to help to promote that ease of access to this type of alternative farming? For instance, do you believe that the government should be able to provide incentives for entrepreneurs to access this type of hydroponic farming?
Well, what my belief is not say the incentive to me. It's more like to find a way of change the perspective of our mindset towards farming. You understand? I do believe that there is currently incentive for, in the agriculture sector where people can bring in stuff that towards their farming and at a maybe again for a reduced tax or something like that. You understand? So there is already incentive in place. But the mindset around agriculture, I think that's where we need to work on. Because people don't really find agriculture attractive.
Sexy. It's not a sexy endeavor.
Exactly. So so one of the work that we doing now,
it's sexy is financial
to change the mindset. Cause that's actually often our thing, you know, we say we are sexy farmers, we are the sexy farmers. That's the hot girls and hot boys upon for we team and we farm, we have fun, we live life. We do everything just like everybody else does.
Right, but at the end of the day, your pocket's sexy and that's what it's about,
yeah, because agriculture is very, very, very lucrative.
Right.
Yeah, but I believe that with hydroponic farming, that can be changed because you don't have to get your hands dirty and all the things. So when we work on our farm, we're not dirty. So man just get up on anywhere, anything, thing. We leave the farm and take taxi and go anyway. You understand? So you know, really dirty. So that in itself is helping to change a mindset. So I think the incentive does make a lot a benefit, but they do have incentive in place already, I believe. So for me, as far as regulation, I don't think we need regulation, we need encouragement, you understand? We need encouragement, we need access to resources, you understand? So those are the things. We don't know about regulation and things, but I think the regulation that we don't need right now is to find out how we can feed ourselves, produce our own food.
What are usually some of the major issues or points of failure, and how is it that you handle these cases?
Point of failure for hydroponics?
Yes.
All right. One of the challenges that other than getting into it is some of a challenge with the capital, because it's capital intensive to start. It's actually cheaper than if you're doing it outdoors, traditional way. But because you're spending all of your capital all at once, a majority of your capital at once, it becomes a very expensive venture. Traditional farming, you end up spending way more money, but you're spending it slowly over a period of time. You understand? But because the hydroponic farming, once you build it, It's a one-time cost. It's steel them not for no time now. The price them not done for no time now. And basically, you might have pump issues. Like your pump might fail, but those things, like, you know, after a few years, the pump have challenged the pump. The pump not last forever and thing. But it's mostly a one-time cost. After you purchase it, it's mostly just plant, harvest, collect. Plant, harvest, collect, plant, harvest, collect for many years. So PF is served very quickly.
I was just about to ask, what is usually return on investment and how soon can persons see that return?
All right. I sold farm to a customer already who make a return on the investment in 4 weeks.
Wow.
And actually profit. Because what happened in for example of this customer is they purchased their farm during when it's about to be summer to plant lettuce And at that time, lettuce price is very expensive. So when they purchase the farm from us, we come and build the farm immediately. So we take one day to go install the farm. Mm-hmm. At the time, the farm was already in stock, so we just go install the farm. And we supply the seedlings, so she does have seedlings to plant instantly. So they build the farm today, and bring the seedlings today, and she plant. She planting. So basically, she transferred the money to our bank account, and it money take a few days to clear. As soon as it clear, she have a farm with lettuce tonight. Mm-hmm. And lettuce only take 4 weeks, and 4 weeks later, it within the same month. Harvesting lettuce, and at the time the price of lettuce was significantly high, and she was able to recover back her money and the first harvest. So that's a big advantage. You can react to changes in the environment very quickly. So if a storm come, you can pull it down. If you want, you don't have to pull it down, because most breezes blow through this unless it's something serious.
Right.
Yes.
And so you meant
if prices are high, I don't have to prepare or none or nothing. I just plug in my pump and start immediately.
All right. You mentioned advantages. Let's can you highlight some of the other advantages from utilizing this type of system?
All right, some other advantages, you're not planting any side. So no weeding, no digging, no plowing, no mowing. And all those things actually bringing down the cost of production as well.
Mm-hmm.
Another advantage is you have faster growth.
Mm-hmm.
You spend less on labor because you're not doing all the look of something there, extra something there.
Right.
You get to recycle back 90% of your water, along with the nutrition as well. So you're saving our water. So when time drought time come, the money who plant hydroponics, we call them cash pot, man. They're just a colic. Because they produce. They're able to produce. Some of the other advantages, you attract young youths to come and work. Because no young youths that me talk to right now, they don't want to work, where them can't show it on Instagram and TikTok. This is technology attract them to come work because they're not get dirty. Your return on investment is very, very rewarding. The other advantage is you can basically farm anyway, because you're not planting on this side. You have people who farm on their rooftop, who build a farm for them on their rooftop. You have people who are farming in the backyard. You have people who farm in their front yard. I'm talking from concrete. So you can basically put it anyway. The advantage is you're going vertically, so you're going to be a little space if you go tall up and plant a whole pack up.
Right.
Another thing that a lot of people don't really think about what I see is it helps with predator larceny, because what happens is that you don't have to have a farm far a bush no more. You can put the farm on your outside because they are anyway. Basically, right. You can have it in a scheme, you can have it in our community, anywhere, because it's clean farming and enough to do not plow and not get no dirty and all stuff.
That's a major advantage, because when we really have a disease with predator larceny in Jamaica, right? So
yeah,
that's a very critical advantage to have.
Yeah, if your house is deck, you can put a farm on top of your roof, you know.
Right.
You basically can sell back. So it almost come like the farm can actually pay to go up top for the next store floor.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. So what about pests? Do you find it more difficult to infiltrate that system versus the traditional?
Yeah, we have less pests from my experience. We plant some stuff outside as well, and I just started growing, and I do talk to a lot of farmers, and we have less pest issue.
Okay.
Because we're not in the soil, so we're avoiding the soil-borne diseases, and we're avoiding the pest them that's in the soil. So by avoiding them already, solve some of the problem there. So we do have less pests to deal with.
Okay.
So we end up safe upon labor again, I will safe upon the resources needed to control the pest.
Okay, interesting. You mentioned startup costs being a disadvantage to this initial entrepreneurship. What are some other elements that you would say fall under the disadvantage list?
All right. The disadvantage is you need a real resource of energy. So that's one of the disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people don't have no land, which part them have the land, but they don't like them. So it's running a pump again. The pump is electric, you get the current.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the biggest disadvantage. The other disadvantage is that it's actually advantage and a disadvantage depending on your monitoring it, is that you're basically giving the crop everything it need as far as the nutrition and stuff. So if you're not giving the crop what it need when it need it, you're gonna have poor result. But if it does give it when it need it again, you could have the maximum result basically.
So it can be time intensive.
Disadvantage. No, not necessarily. Can you put nutrition in the water?
Which is awesome.
If you're not properly adjusting your nutrition and your pH balance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I did say that I wanted to touch back on the topic of research, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you are doing a lot of production, manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done any preliminary research on the consumption of these vegetables versus spoilage? What we consume, because usually, you know, from the traditional farming, because it's not necessarily from farm to table, it has to go through a lot. It goes through the distribution, the, you know, traveling and logistics and all that jazz. And so sometimes there's a lot of spoilage. You go sometimes behind the supermarket, in the back of the supermarket, in the back of the stores. When you go to the market, you see a lot of discarded parts from vegetables, waste products. With your apparatus, with your setup, where persons can actually visit the farm and select what it is that they want, how if you have done any research in relation to that, in relation to the consumption aspect of it versus in relation to what is normally wasted from the traditional farming?
No, I mean, I have no data as far as numbers, but what I could tell you is that in a traditional farming, you have a lot of the crops, waste, especially if rain start falling or something due to the spoilage. You know, the hydroponic farming, you have them fresher because you can bring it closer to the consumer. So,
right. Yeah,
less traveling and those stuff. So, you normally fresher and you waste less because you don't have to harvest everything one time later.
Right. So usually when it's time to actually do a harvesting, what is the recommended time frame that you actually do the harvesting? Because if it's ready, do you say by the end of the month you have a harvest, or you know, like how does that look versus the traditional?
We harvest different things at different times. We harvest every week. So we always planting, harvesting. But different crop, the harvest them at different times.
So it's not something that you allow to sit in the
tubes? No, once you're ready,
tubes.
Once you're ready, you're ready. Let's take it out.
Is it that you have to do it? Is it that you have to get rid of it? Or...
If it doesn't get rid of it, it's actually going to grow past the stage where it's consumed.
Edible. That's what I wanted to find out, right? Okay. All right. Well, break down for us the actual types of vegetables. You did mention lettuce and pak choy and parsley. But break down for us exactly the type of fruits and vegetables.
We plant almost everything we can get to unplant because we want to see how it works. I want to learn about it.
That
but
is a research.
The primary thing that we focus on growing is lettuce. We grow a lot of lettuce.
What That's type of lettuce?
We grow the iceberg lettuce and we grow the mixed lettuce.
What?
We plant pak choy, cabbage, parsley, cilantro, kale, everything we get to unplant, we put in the system.
Okay.
Can we check to see what work best and those things. Yeah.
You mentioned fruits. What type of fruits you grow?
Yeah, we grow strawberries in there.
Okay. We grow cucumbers too, I know.
Yeah, man, we put cucumber in the system. But what we have learned is that almost everything can grow hydroponically. And it's just that different design or that suit different crop best. So now we're at the phase now where we designing different design that actually suit a particular crop best.
Mm-hmm. Different so design. We need different design.
So for example, like the system that we have is an NFT system. And it grows onion, but it's not suitable for growing onion. So we have made a different design that's best for suitable to grow onion.
And yeah, but this I don't understand. Like, be a little bit more detailing of the design. Is it designed by water and nutrition? Is it designed by the shape of the system?
The system itself.
Ah, okay. So you did mention triangular. Mm. So then, would that be it? Like you go to
you have different type of hydroponic setup. You have NFT. You have deep water. You have ebb and flow, you have Dutch bucket, you have many different designs, different type of hydroponic system. Hydroponic system is just basically the method of delivering the nutrition.
Water.
So
right.
You have different ways you can do it and still be hydroponically. Mm-hmm. But if you grow in that type of crop, doing it this particular way, it will grow, but it won't maximize its potential. If you do this particular and this particular design, it will get the best result from it. And vice versa for our other crops. So that's the phase that we have now, where we know all these things grows. So now we are designing the system specially for a particular type of crops. So when you want a Japanese system from us, you could say, okay, give me the strawberry one, give me the onion one. Give me the top 12 one. Give me the understanding.
Okay, interesting.